Well, we're staying in Ephesians, as I said we would at the beginning of this section of the lectionary. And we're staying in Ephesians, which is good because it pushed me to pay a little more attention to this section in Ephesians and do a little more study external to just the text itself, which is always good. I mean, for me to suggest that I can go and open the Bible and get exactly what's there for you and for me, I think is at best misguided, and there are probably a few other words we could add to it. I mean, I've studied lots of these things in the past, but there's always new things to learn, and there's also, thankfully, there's a whole group of people out there who have been given the privilege of spending almost full time thinking about what the text means and some of the tricky textual bits. And then we also have the benefit in these days of the internet of being able to connect with people that we'd never be able to meet otherwise, who have insights that can be of real value to us. And this, of course, leaves out, a good solid 95% of what's on the internet, which is at best irrelevant and, if not, actively destructive to a lot of the things we value. But I was poking around, just sort of looking for people thinking about the lectionary the way we do. Not so much thinking about individual texts from a biblical history or a biblical studies kind of thing, but just the lectionary and how it hangs together. And I came across someone who did some writing. Her name is April Yamasaki, and she crystallized something for me that has always been a bit of, not a bother, but something that I've always sort of wondered about. And it's this whole idea of these various lists that we have in the Bible. We like lists. As human beings, we like to categorize things. They say one of the things that human beings do best of all is what they call pattern recognition. And we see patterns in things. And that's what gives rise to, on the one hand, the superstition of lots of athletes who noticed that when they did this action and that action while wearing this undershirt, they had a good game. And so they start thinking that, one caused the other when perhaps it didn't. But we recognize patterns. And part of recognizing patterns is one of the reasons why lists are so attractive. I sometimes think the internet is, maybe a third of it is just people making lists of things. The top 10 of this and the worst moments in television and all kinds of, there's lists everywhere. And there's lists in the Bible. And in Ephesians today, we do have another list. And we've got a list of lots of really good things for us. And Paul, who's talking about it, says, these are the things we need to do. We need to put off falsehood. We need to speak truthfully. Don't be sinful when we're angry. A small side note. He doesn't say don't be angry. He says, when you are angry, don't sin, which is a good thing for us sort of buttoned down Canadian types to realize that it is okay to be angry. You just can't sin at the same time, which is hard, but still something to think about. And it goes on for this list. And the problem with lists, and this is what April Yamasaki helped me realize, or helped me understand, part of what makes me uncomfortable about lists is that it's impossible for a list to be exhaustive. A list can't cover everything. It's just not possible. And this limitation of lists became more obvious to me as my children grew older, and as I'm sure it does to everyone who interacts with children of a particular age, and I'm not quite sure what that age is. It's an age range, and it starts fairly soon when they start talking and interacting. I won't say talking back, but speaking in response to you. And I'm sure you've all had this experience at some point with your children or someone else's, when you give them a list of things or you mention some things that they shouldn't do. This is particularly in lists of prohibitions. And you say, okay, we're going to the store, okay, so, don't answer the phone, don't answer the door, whatever it is, do these things. And sooner or later, and depending on the child, it might be immediately and it might be forever, does that mean I can do this, whatever this is? And usually it's something completely ridiculous. No, you cannot play with knives while I'm gone, or whatever it might be. And it's because this list creates this illusion for us that the list covers everything that is. Well, it can't. It's just not possible. A list doesn't, in a very real sense, because a list isn't exhaustive and can't be exhaustive, For a particular kind of person, and I think most of us are this kind of person, what a list does is it creates loopholes. The longer and more, and this I got from working with college and even seminary students, the longer and more detailed your list, the more energy and effort will go into finding what the list doesn't cover. And I know this is true because I was one of those students. And we were at a leadership retreat, a student leadership retreat. I can't even remember if I was a student or if I was one of the faculty at that point. But we're going through the rule changes, and we were unapologetic about saying, look, we call them community guidelines, but these are rules. These are the things you have to do. And so we're going through some of the changes, and the dean of students was reading off these things and talking about what did you need to do when you went to worship services, which we expected. What did you need to dress like? And so there's a description, you need to dress up some. It wasn't ridiculous, but women needed to wear this and that. And men, I believe it said, needed to wear suits or dress sweaters. And so I said, does that mean pants are optional? Well, I mean, I did it just to be funny. Obviously, I didn't think anyone was going to go to church without pants. But that notion of lists just pushes some of us and pushes a lot of us into saying, oh, well, what about this? Well, and that's the problem with lists. We go through the Bible and we find all these lists, and I don't know if you've ever been on the wrong end of this, but I know I have, where people who have some facility with the Bible will then bring up things that, well, the Bible doesn't say I can't do this, so does that mean I can? And when I was younger, I would respond in the same sort of general sense and try and make, well, no, because of this. Now I just realize the answer is, don't be silly. The Bible is not a bunch of lists. The Bible does not have lists that cover everything that you're ever going to encounter. If nothing else, as I've said before, it doesn't say anything in there but what to do when you're following somebody for 30 kilometers on highway or something and they have one of their turn indicators on. The Bible never addresses that. The Bible addresses what's going on in your head in different ways, but it doesn't do it through lists. And so when I was looking at this, the sermon title that came to me is that this is not just another list. And I put it that way because I was hoping, probably in vain, that some of you would at least think, oh, this means this is the best list. And what I'm getting at is that it's not another list because it's not a list at all. Paul isn't making lists of things. Even when Paul is writing specifically to churches that are having a bit of a challenge, I've spent my own personal time in the Bible is currently in 1 Corinthians. There's a church for you. And there, Paul is addressing specific behaviors in the church that he says are wrong and need to be corrected. But even there, he doesn't say, and this is what applies to all churches, or that this is a list. He's saying, in this situation, you need to stop doing this kind of thing. And here, Paul is making this list, but he's making the list to get to what is the real point. Through one of the most powerful words that we have in English. And I can't remember what the word is in Greek, but it's this whole idea of pulling things together. And at the beginning of verse 1 in chapter 5, it says, be imitators of God, therefore. Therefore is one of those words that points to a summation of what was before. Therefore is saying that I have a bunch of things here, and therefore, as a consequence of those things, this is what happens. And that alerts us to the fact that this was never intended to be an exhaustive list, of course. Paul is saying there's a whole bunch of things, and you know what? Because of those things, or when you think of those things, therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love. The list isn't there for us to say, okay, today must be a good day. I was angry, but I didn't run that person off the road, to use a really silly example. We look at this and we say, okay, today was a good day. I didn't let any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth as far as I know. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking at your day and saying, I'm not going to do those things. But Paul is saying that it's when we don't do those things, when those things are not part of who we are, we then become imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a sacrifice to God. The lists are never given for us to just check them off. It's tempting. It's really tempting because it makes it easier. One of the things that we realize when we have children in our lives, and for that matter, one of those things that we realize often about ourselves, is that having just a checklist of things to do simplifies our life and makes it better. And there are places where checklists are really helpful in our own lives. Checking off things, well, we're thinking of right now, checking off things we need to take with us when we go to Vancouver is a good way for us to remember. Don't forget your prescriptions. Well, of course you're not going to forget your prescriptions. Well, you sure won't if it's on a list and you have to check it off. So there's value in having checklists. But when we try to live our life in Christ on the basis of checklists, we're always going to find something that isn't covered on a list. We're always going to find some action that in our interpretation, in our experience, doesn't exactly fit any of the lists we know of. And that only makes sense because none of these lists are there for us to just follow in some kind of a mechanical way. Rather, therefore, we're called to live a life of love. And when we circle back, because it's always not a bad idea, when you hear a therefore, to make sure that what comes after the therefore matches up with what's in front. Well, if you live a life of love, are you going to be the kind of person who lets unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, who gets angry and sinful with people, all of these things in this list? Of course not. Paul gives the list to illustrate the kinds of things that what the therefore life looks like. And so then it isn't not just another list. Because the point isn't the list. The point is that we look at these things and we say these are examples. These are illustrations of what it means for us to pay attention to the fact that we can imitate God in the same way that our children often imitate what we do. As your children get older, you'll hear yourself in your children and how they tell jokes and how they tell stories. In turns of phrase, and sometimes it's kind of embarrassing, sometimes it's kind of gratifying. I hear my father in me. We imitate the people that we love. We imitate the people that we look up to. We imitate the people we're around a lot. And Paul's saying, imitate God. And when you imitate God, do it by living a life of love, just as Christ loved us. Whenever we come across lists in the Bible, spend less time looking at the content of the list and see where the list is taking you. The list says that these are the kinds of things that we will look like when we have this life of love. The nice thing about it is that when we live a life of love, the list becomes less important. We become less concerned about checking things off on it. But when we reflect back, we realize that, well, if we did want to check things off, we can check off most of them. Not because checking off is the value, but because we've become those kind of people that do those kinds of things. It's not just a list. It has good illustrations, good examples of things for us to do. But far and away, the most important thing, and the thing that Paul is getting at here and in so many other places in Scripture where he gives us lists, is that I want you to be a particular kind of person. God wants us to live lives of love, not lives of list-checking people. We can do it. We can imitate God. And when we do, we'll see that we don't need to consult lists anymore. Living a life of love means that everything on that list and so much more besides is just part of our nature. As we go from this place, as we think of the things that we're going to do in the balance of today and in this week, isn't it good to know that we don't have to be keeping track of a particular list, remembering that we have to do this and this and this, because the list will just get longer and longer. Instead, we live a life of love, imitating God and modeling ourselves on the life of Christ himself, who loved us so much that he was willing to give up his life for us. If we can love people to that extent, we don't need any list. Amen.